And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can also stream the show live on their website, www.guardiantalkradio.com. If you miss it, you can go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs, and you can go to the education menu and click on Blank Canvas, and you get all the old shows. I'd also like to give a shout out to all of my listeners. I don't know what it is recently, but more and more people are coming up and telling me they listen to the show. And I really, really appreciate that when people let me know. And if I can actually remember your name, I will even say thank you publicly. So I want to say thank you to Kishelle Davis, who let me know that Shout she out. Is a listener. I contacted her to do some corporate training. She's a corporate training specialist. And she was like, oh, it's going to be so exciting to work with the NAGB because I listen to your show all the time. So yay. Anyone that listens, we really appreciate you. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you even more showing up to some of the things we talk about. So come to the openings, come to go to other art shows that we speak about on the air, because you will find that the art community is really, really welcoming, very, very open. And I think the fear a lot of people have is that, you know, artists or the people that organize art shows are all like hoity-toity and standing around and being special, but they're not at all. It's like a very open, down-to-earth community. We love meeting new people, having new faces come to, whether it's Dungalik, whether it's the Diagonal Art Foundation, Hillside House, the NAGB, and the Island House. Which is where Natasha is going to be having, Natasha Vasquez, who we heard from before the break, will be having her first Bahamian solo show. I know, opening on Friday night at the Island House. And I'm going to ask Lauren Holowesko to tell us a little bit, who's the director at the Island House. How do you then select the artist? What is the kind of, is there like an official program, like every 6 months there's going to be a show, or is it sort of a bit more like, you know, when there's a slot in the calendar, you figure it out?
So there's kind of two facets. So I would say there's the idea that we want to do a quarterly show, more of a group show. So that's when we look for a local curator. You know, we've had John curate a show. We've had Hino curate a show. We've had Tessa Whitehead create a show and an artist residency program. Mm-hmm. So that's one facet of it. And then the other facet is really providing a space for artists to have
Their own show. Because, you know, it's actually kind of hard to come by a space
It is. But now, you know, with Bahamar opening and, you know, with the Island House meeting room, which we have downstairs, and the exterior spaces, you know, you know, my dream is to have a sculpture exhibition somewhere in there.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's going to happen. I feel it.
Good.
So, you know, so for people like Natasha, I mean, we had Thierry Lamar's show last Friday. Mm-hmm. And that was something where he approached us. You know, I've known Thierry for a long time and his artwork is fantastic. And he said, you know, I'd love to have my show. And I said, amazing. You know, and we have a track system in the space, and we have kind of two elephants. So we make the space as flexible as possible where you can.
So track system for the lighting and the elephants are how we refer to movable walls.
Yeah. I don't know how
in
that
case
ever
anyone's
came
wondering
about.
How no, anyone's wondering
we have
why
two elephants living in the Island House meeting room.
Why there's an elephant in the meeting room, but yes, so movable wall structures.
Movable gallery walls is probably the more elegant way to say it than elephant. So we have, so those are kind of two facets to how we work. And, you know, also Natasha approached us. So, but that's something that we definitely would approach an artist and say, you know, we'd love to have your show at the Island House. And you know, looking to 2018, that's something that we would like to market, you know, to different artists that they know that we do that. And I think just through having Thierry Lamar and now Natasha's show on Friday, I think the word is now out there that
there is. And also, there is a space. I have to say, it does bring a different level of professionalism, because I know, I mean, Thierry is, as you know, we just had a solo show with him at the National Art Gallery. I hope everybody got to see that, because it was just unbelievably beautiful. And
beautiful
now it's down,
show.
So if you missed it, you can come by the pack catalog. Great Christmas present, by the way.
It is. It's a beautiful catalog.
If you're thinking about catalogs, exactly. Come to the NAGB and do your Christmas shopping at the store, because we have some really good things in. But aside from that, I know Thierry, because a lot of his clients live out west.
They do.
You know, and he used to do shows in like bank lobbies and these kind of interim spaces. And I always, you know, I'm grateful that businesses here want to support the arts that way by having, you know, some art hanging in their lobby. But it really isn't. It really isn't the most respectful thing for the artist, because it's kind of like, you know, a passage space where you're kind of walking by on your way to go get lunch. And I think, you know, to have that facility that you're giving artists, to have the respect, the space where people come only to look at the art.
Right.
That is the object of the space.
Right.
And I think it makes you also approach the art in a different way and deal with it in a different way.
It's so more intentional.
It's exactly. It's
and because
more
we're a public space as well, I find that the artists, even through the install process, we had so many people come through and talk to Thierry while he's installing and kind of have a more of a personal connection with the artist mm-hmm. while, you know, while that show is going up. So even if you came and hung at the Allen House and had lunch and, you know, Thierry was around for the for 3 days, you know, prior to the show. And so will Natasha on Thursday as she installs. And I think that's a really valuable experience to be able to speak to the artist, you know, about their show and get a sneak peek preview, you know, even before the night.
Absolutely. So Lauren. Lauren, you're not Lauren. I'm looking at Natasha, but I'm saying Lauren, but no one can see that. So I just should have kept my mouth shut. But anyhow, Natasha. Hello.
Hi.
Tell us, so the work, was it work you were already working on? Was it, did you know you wanted to do a show? So you were like, I've got to make like a body of work that is going to be for this specific show. Like how do you, and actually where do you practice as an artist here on the island?
Well, to answer your first question, it's a requirement for the MFA. You have to have a thesis exhibition at the end of the 3 years or two years, however fast, however quickly you want to do it. And I make all the work at our farm on South Ocean Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I have a small studio there, so that's where the work is made. And so this body of work has kind of come out of 2 years of studying and making work that I didn't really know much about. So I kind of considered myself as like a scientist in a lab, and I was like mixing paint and I was making marks, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And grad school is a place where like they force you to constantly think and question and challenge yourself, right? Which is amazing. And so I had the opportunity to do that, and I knew that I was really interested in the painting language and this idea of like the construction of painting and how painting is actually made, aside from content or narrative, which I'm also interested in. But for this body of work, I really wanted to focus on formalism and how paintings are created. And so I remember reading an article by a contemporary artist, Carrie Moyer. I don't know if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. And she said that painting was contradictory. And I thought that was really interesting because it is flat. And oftentimes artists create these illusions, you know, imitating the space around us in our three-dimensional world. And so I thought, okay, why is it that, you know, why is it that that came about? And so I went all the way back to the origins of painting, to cave painting 40,000 years ago, and I started looking at paintings that were created on cave walls in Europe. And I noticed that even then, at the root of painting, artists or people were already sort of creating these illusions, these spatial dynamics that alluded to a sense of depth. And so people that were in the foreground were larger than those in the background. And then as time progressed, like in the Renaissance, you started seeing artists like Leonardo da Vinci who were kind of like obsessed with mimesis. They were like obsessed with creating this hyper real
kind of representation.
Right. And you know, with the Vitruvian Man, which I find fascinating, he's using math to kind of like try and create this ideal human form.
Math had a lot to do with it, right? The invention of linear perspective,
right?
It was all about
exactly.
Math.
Yeah. And so I found that fascinating. And then I also looked closely at Jan van Eyck, who's with the Arnolfini portrait, where he's creating like these paintings that really emanated like depth.
Yeah, so the Arnolfini portrait, for people that don't know, is this really amazing, I don't know what year it was, probably 15 something.
So
late 1500s, I would say. Yeah. Very hyper real, like little medieval painting, but it was one of the first ones where there's a couple, and they're behind them hanging on the wall is one of those convex mirrors, so like a round mirror that shows the world in a kind of fisheye view.
Yeah.
And so not only are the couple portrayed like down to every single like hair on the fur collar of the man, but also there's this extremely intricate reflection in the mirror of the artist actually painting the painting done in this fisheye. I mean, it's really an extraordinary painting, and it was something that kind of pushed sort of painters at that time to basically try more things and be more daring.
Yeah, and they were so interested in, and I think that's just human nature, to like try and capture a moment in time that inherently passes, you know, like to archive it, especially because the camera was not invented at this time. And so I was really interested in like how these artists were creating that illusion. And that
1434, oh my God, I just Googled it. So anyhow, carry on.
Yeah, long time ago.
1434, yeah, amazing.
But he had this amazing way of like creating, he would glaze these really thin kind of pores of paint on top of one another to create like a sense of atmosphere and depth in the work. I don't know if you're...
And also in the fabrics too, like it's a way to create the shadow, and the fold was basically the kind of to pour liquid glaze in a way to create that sense of
and
like
her,
a falling fabric.
Her beautiful green gown was like so in the foreground because it's so kind of bold and prominent. And so I was really interested in just the construction of it, not so much in the content of the work.
So not in reproducing the reality, but in kind of examining the manner in which the reality was created.
Exactly. And why that was important to artists in like trying to capture a moment in our three-dimensional mm-hmm. world mm-hmm. on this flat surface, mm-hmm. which is contradictory mm-hmm. In a way. And so I thought, well, how can I take my interest for, you know, abstract expressionism and colored field painting and like abstraction and sort of root it and contextualize it by sort of understanding the lineage of painting mm-hmm. in that way. Mm-hmm. And so my paintings today are very non-objective. They're bright and colorful and organic. There's no detailed imagery in the work other than like line and shape and pattern. But it all refers back to this idea of like creating illusion for space, mm-hmm. Sort of paying homage to that idea of traditional painting. Mm-hmm. And so I oftentimes, like, I'll start with a pour, a very sort of thin pour that starts the painting, and then I'll do some patterns and then more pours on top of that to kind of distort it to make it feel mm-hmm. like it's in the background.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a way, I guess even with abstract expression, I mean, even if you think of somebody like, let's say, Jackson Pollock, there is still this idea of depth, even yeah. though they're dealing with the flatness of the surface.
Absolutely.
And all of that abstract expressionism and, you know, Barnett Newman and all this guy, Mark Rothko, we're basically dealing with flatness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There always is this, even just with, you know, one splash on top of another splash, already it creates this you look at it and you automatically read it in 3D
right.
in a way, which I find very interesting, because yeah. even when they're trying to kind of highlight the super flatness, mm-hmm. There's still this sense of depth. And like with Mark Rothko's, they you know, those squares kind of like they seem to levitate like
yeah.
off the canvas, right?
Exactly.
And even, you know, even though they're dealing specifically with the flatness,
yeah.
there's mm-hmm. always this idea of three-dimensionality.
Right. And I wanted to really intentionally
yeah.
do that,
yeah.
like with the
mm-hmm.
the traditional painting mm-hmm. in mind, super intentionally, because I feel like there's nothing worse than an unintentional painting, unless it's intentionally unintentional, right?
Yeah.
But like, so I just really kind of obsessively kind of thought about that. And I thought, how can I establish something mathematical mm-hmm. that would help me in creating this illusion? And so what I did was, every time I start a painting, I mix up like 30 colors or 20
mm-hmm.
colors, however many, and I number them.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 through 30, let's say, and I use them sequentially on my canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all those colors have been used, I mm-hmm. use them backwards
mm-hmm.
as well as sequentially. And what that does, similar to Photoshop, when you like bring things forward or backward,
mm-hmm.
it allows things that get buried in the composition to come back out again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of like trying to create this illusion that things are sort of moving from back to front
mm-hmm.
and so that there is space surrounding each thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the general idea of the work. It's really kind of a visual exploration of the language of painting
mm-hmm.
and sort of its lineage and how it's evolved.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be there. I know I'm going to be there. Lauren, I know you're going to be there.
I will be there.
So that is at, what time does it start?
Six o'clock?
6 to 9. Okay, so 6 to 9 o'clock. That's at the Island House. And for those that don't know, the Island House, you basically take West Bay Street, you drive along the coast, or you go down the highway.
As far as you can go. And
as far as
going.
You can go,
yeah.
exactly. Until you hit the Lifer Key roundabout.
Yeah. Just go
and
down
then
and
you go left up the hill. And basically, at the top of the hill there,
you'll
see a sign that says
yeah.
Island House, and you
yeah.
turn in, and it's behind, if you know the restaurant Mahogany, it's on the sort of same area, through the same gate, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, even if you can't come to the opening, you know, the Island House is an awesome place to go have a coffee, and they have a really nice cafe.
Drinks. There'll be a DJ and drinks
DJ
at Natasha's event.
Well,
yeah,
Natasha's
exactly.
only DJ and drinks, so there's a reason
yeah.
to go right there.
There's a party.
So, and
yeah.
again, I think I always say this on the show, you know, show up. Like, even if, like, you think it's going to be above your head, even if you think...
support.
Just
yeah.
to support. Like,
yeah.
even just come for the drinks. But,
yeah.
I mean, again, for artists to see communities come out
yeah.
and celebrate them and show interest in what they're doing, no one says you have to love the paintings, right? You can
yeah.
come out and think they're weird.
And
that's fine. And that's fine.
People.
And that's fine too.
Yeah.
And because we're all like open to discussion and open to, you know, these different points of view. So I would really encourage people to come out to discover also the things happening on their island, because so
yeah.
often people say, oh, there's nothing to do in Nassau. And it's not true.
There's plenty.
There's really a lot to do. And
yeah.
if you are follow the art world, and you cannot be an artist, you cannot be an art critic. You can just, you know, you can be doing whatever it is you're doing. But if you just go to all the art events,
yeah.
let me tell you, you're going to be busy. You're going to meet really interesting people.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of free drinks.
Yeah.
and you're going to have a fun time, and you're going to really learn about the depth of Bahamian culture.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I think the art scene really kind of embraces all levels of it. And like right now, we've been talking about the contemporary in particular. But again, you know, we also honor the traditional as well. So I really encourage people to come out to the Island House. Lauren, you know, what you're doing is really awesome. I've got the right person this time.
Thank you.
you know, really, what Island House is doing is just, you know, my husband and I live on the East End, and we've always been committed East Enders. But I have to say, recently we've been like, maybe when the kids grow up and leave, we'll have to move to the West. Just because of the Island House, and a few other restaurants.
I'm still at EC at heart, but live at West. So, yeah. I know it's a constant battle.
Yeah. I think we need an Island House like annex. I'm just saying, and I actually even have the property
satellite,
in mind.
But never mind. Island House. Yeah.
And Natasha, again, thank you for coming on. I'm going to do a bit of housekeeping now, and I'm going to say to people, come out and go to Bahamar as well. So
yes.
Natasha spoke to also the art program at Bahamar. Like, really, they encourage people to come and show up and to be interested in what's happening in the studios. You have open crits every other Friday.
Yep.
And those are really like open to anyone who's interested. And again, it doesn't have to be that you're an art critic or an artist. You may maybe you just want to know a little bit about how that process works. Like, what is an art crit?
Yeah,
how is that conversation?
Maybe you just want to sit and listen. And
exactly.
I think it's really important that you're saying this, because a lot of people are intimidated by art institutions. So
right.
It's not supposed to be this big, scary thing.
Like, yeah, exactly. And I think that's across the world. You know,
right.
Again, like there's
Absolutely.
Something about. But
yeah.
again, like I can speak for the fact that, I find the art community in particular here. I mean, everywhere it's normally pretty open, but really very accessible.
Yeah.
Always excited to meet new people, and I would just say check out all the calendars if you want to get on the Island House mailing list. You have an awesome newsletter.
We do. Yeah.
How would people get on the mailing list?
You can actually just email in or call us, and we can add you to the list.
Yeah.
And also, there's a link on our website. So if you go to www.theisland-house.com.
Okay.
Theislandhouse.com was taken.
So I would Darn.
Damn. I know. But there's a link there, and you can also just email info@the-island-house.com, and we'll add to the mailing list.
Yeah.
We do a weekly newsletter.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I always find out what's happening with the weekly newsletter.
And we try to put what's happening.
Yeah.
We have Rake and Scrape this Thursday.
Yeah.
We always have a weekly music event and movies and things going on.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So I really encourage people to check that out, and also to check out the NAGB's website, which, www.nagb.org.bs. Just Google National Art Gallery of the Bahamas and you'll find it.
Yeah.
And to check out our calendar, because we do often have a lot going on. I'm going to do it like a tiny bit of housekeeping and just say some of the stuff we do have coming up. So on Friday, not at the National Art Gallery, but at the Island House, is Natasha's opening. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. That's out west and up the hill. And again, drinks and nice people. And then we actually have a bunch of things happening this weekend. So on Saturday the 2nd, we have our Christmas Arternoon, which are our children's events. That is a workshop to make a take-home Christmas ornament, but also to make a Christmas ornament with which we will decorate our own Christmas tree, which is, of course, not a real tree, but was made by some artists and is this very funky thing. So we're going to have a nice kind of Christmas tree day on Saturday the 2nd. That is for children between the ages of, I'm not totally sure, I want to say like 6 to 12, but I'm making that up, so you might want to go to the website and take a look. It's $15 for that, and that's for the materials, but that does include a lunch. So you can come and drop your kids while you're doing your early Christmas shopping, because we Bahamians do not leave everything that late. So if you want to go Christmas shopping on Saturday morning, you can drop your kids at the NAGB. It's from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 p.m. And generally, we have a lot of fun doing those things. So that's happening on Saturday. Then on Sunday, we are inaugurating a new program at the NAGB, which are our docent tours. What on earth are docent tours? Docents are basically people that work for free and know a lot about the institution and will be giving tours of our collection. So we have our free Bahamian Sundays, which, by the way, are also free for anyone who lives here. So we're not, excluding non-Bahamians. If you are, Canadian, French, American, Haitian, Jamaican, and you live full-time in the Bahamas, you get to come for free on Sundays to the National Art Gallery. That is every Sunday of the year, unless it's a holiday. We're open from noon to 5, so I really encourage people to come. But now what we're also doing is every half an hour, there's going to be a tour setting off. And that's being done by our docents, who are volunteers who have just decided they want to dedicate their time and energy to the National Institution. If anyone out there is interested in being a docent, we'd love to have more. And so you can come to the NAGB on Sunday and you can get a free tour, basically. So if you feel like, I always heard about those free Sundays, but I'm still a little bit scared of going because I don't know anything about art, then just show up, because we have these really nice people that are there to take you through and answer any questions. We also have our own film program. Our chairs are not as comfortable as the Island House, I have to say, but it's still kind of awesome. And upcoming on the 7th of December, we have a film called Fish Tank, which is a really interesting film about a young girl growing up in the UK in a project, in a kind of housing project. And it's about the struggle of growing up in a community that is basically just dragging you down. Now, I have to warn people that that is a very adult film. It's got a lot of adult language in it. So there's a lot of effing and blinding. So if you're prepared for that, it's a really excellent film. Come out and see that. That's totally free. All our films are free. And then, of course, we have a major opening on the 14th of December. We're going to be opening our next show, which is entitled Medium, Roots and Practices of Spirituality and Mysticism. It is a show with 30 Bahamian artists that are all exploring different aspects of religion and spirituality. But before we even get into the building to see that show, we are inaugurating our amazing brand new gates that we commissioned from the artist Tyrone Ferguson. So we're all going to gather outside on West Hill Street, and we're going to have some rum from John Watling's, and we're going to all process through these awesome new gates, and then we're going to gather in the amphitheater where there's going to be some music by Rhythm and Youth, and we're going to have a really great night. And again, that is open to the public. That is starting at 6 p.m. on West Hill Street. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December the 14th. So I really, again, just like going to Island House this Friday at 6 o'clock as well, I really encourage people to go out, to join in, to get involved, to meet people, and to just, you know, make the most of everything we're doing right here, because we're doing it because we love the country and we really believe in our artists and our creative practitioners, and we want you to love them too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's
it. Enjoy each other.
Enjoy each other. So that's it for this evening. So I want to thank Natasha Vasquez and Lauren Holowesko for coming in to share everything happening outside of the NAGB, and hope to see you again soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. So thank you to all the listeners for listening. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good night.